Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are after taking a week off.
Well, some of us took a week off.
Well, you worked?
Anyway, somebody's got to pay for this overhead here at the studio.
So April 13th is the day. Of course, we're a day late too.
Yeah, you know why?
No, you had to do something yesterday.
Very important. Mm. I had to go see Lady Gaga.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you get the backstage passes?
Let me tell you something. I was so high up for $86 per seat. It was remarkable. Let me just kind of first of all, she's a terrific talent. I went with my kids and we took my niece out for her birthday. So, it was, you know, everybody's excited about this. And we get there and there's this, I don't even know what
to
say.
How many people did you take?
Just four.
Four. So you dropped almost $400, about $370 or so.
Yeah. And $5 per water.
Okay. So you did drop $400 for nosebleed seats.
Right, nosebleed seats.
Okay.
That it was called for at, let me think what time it was called
was it
for. It was called for 8 o'clock.
I take it wasn't a small, intimate nightclub.
No. It was in the, what is it called now? The Bank Atlantic Center where the our hockey team plays. Big stadium.
It's not bad.
And, you know, so we get there at 8 o'clock and there's some performers on stage. I don't know what they were doing, but I think maybe they were lip syncing and doing aerobicize or something. I don't know what was going on. But it was like a contortionist. It was ridiculous. Then comes on this band, the warm up band, which is called like Soft Something Weapon, like Soft Nuclear Weapon. Absolutely awful. All I can tell you is that I tried to say what would be the style of this group, and all I can say is punk rock meets screaming, beyond punk rock meets torture sounds. Okay, and I haven't done this at a concert.
You sure that wasn't the Dick Cheney Quartet?
It was horrible. This lead singer was a mix between the guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show, Mick Jagger with his walking moves, and Billy Idol. Okay, this is it. Now, am I kidding? The rest of the band was kind of like macho and stuff like that, and this guy is just takes off his pants and his butt. He's walking around with his butt up, and they're singing, and I guess it seems it's the warm-up band for Lady Gaga for the last 6 years or something. And every other word is a you know, a curse word, the F-bomb. And they're singing, doing the thing. I haven't done this, especially in front of my kids, since I can tell you what year it was, okay? After they get off, I start screaming, "You suck." Okay,
you
it was so
suck.
Horrible. It was so horrible.
You're a grown man. You're not supposed to be yelling, "You suck," at a rock concert with a bunch of kids.
I totally understand why they don't give me the bottles to the waters anymore. They had to pour it out, you know? So now, it starts at 8, so it's 9 o'clock, okay? 9 o'clock. At least 45 minutes go by before Lady Gaga comes out with nothing in between. Hmm. You're just sitting there like an idiot. So she starts, and it's an unbelievable stage with lights and things and singing and all that. But the only problem – and by the way, she is incredibly talented, right? The problem is, though, somewhere in there I was between a Broadway show, a concert, and a Tony Robbins seminar. Because every song that she stopped, she would say, "Oh, you're a beautiful person inside, and don't let all the things out there scare you, my little monsters, and you have the courage, and you give me the courage." This whole thing, this positive self-talk in between every song for like 5 minutes.
Huh.
You know, when you leave here, you're going to be a superstar and you could do anything you want. Doesn't matter whether it's inside or outside. Unbelievable.
Well, that sounds pretty banal.
It was weird. I guess I got, you know, for $86 for a few hours, it was like, you know, a psychology session or something. I don't know. It was weird. It was a little weird.
Cheaper than a shrink.
Yeah, it was a little strange, but that's what it was. So, but she was, like I said, very talented. Very, very talented.
Yeah, well, that's her job. She's making $100 million this year.
Well, she did say that if she is going to match every donation to this particular place, for every $5 you give, she's going to match it. I thought that was very nice.
She's making $100 million. She needs write-offs.
It's worse. Up to $25,000.
Oh, she's going to cut it off?
I said, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? 25 grand? What do you even need us for?
No kidding. She could just, that's probably in her purse. She's got that much. That's funny.
Crazy. Anyway, lots of things happened since you have been traveling throughout the Northeast, not to mention several earthquakes. Another one today in no longer the aftershocks. When does the aftershock and the earthquake line kind of converge? Is
It's actually not determined by the time frame. It's actually the seismologists actually look at the graphs, and they can determine if it's stemming from a different location and it's not a follow-up quake that's directly stemming from the original quake, it's a mm-hmm. quake. Aftershocks are all stemming from the original quake, and they have something to do with it.
Okay, so for today there was an aftershock a month or so later right in that Honshu area again. It was a 6.1. There was another 6.6, a 7.4. You know, still a million people are without lights, and there's going to be continued shutdowns of production in the United States and abroad due to the automobile industry unable to produce. And so as the story goes on and on and on over there, and it's really starting to get a little strange. And then we had oil top out between last week and this week at, 113 on the WTI, right? I mean, and yeah. Brent was 126. People started getting a little nervous. You know, went back down. So, yeah, it's only 107 now. That's a good thing. Yeah. And we had the markets get a little crazy. But there's some good economic news. There's some weird things. McDonald's is going to hire about 50,000 people in the U.S. Now, management says, listen to this. Management says it's going to boost the spending in the United States by upward of $1.4 billion. But here's the weird thing. If you read down the story, the payout that they figure on these new hires is only going to be about $518 million over the year. So how do you get – what do? You assume that for every dollar somebody makes, they spend three?
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, are they going to maybe – I don't know.
The math doesn't add up.
Yeah. Maybe they're thinking that it's going to boost the spending of McDonald's by – I don't know. Maybe they have to buy uniforms and they have to do training. So something strange about that. Mm. But that's you know, you gotta love that McDonald's. Good. I haven't had McDonald's in like 6 months. Have you?
Let me think. I probably not for over a year or maybe longer. I don't know. When I found out that most of the burger and the buns are all made from wood,
can you repeat that, please?
Wood.
Wood what?
I don't know, some byproduct of wood, but McDonald's is the biggest purchaser of this stuff. It's some sort of fiber that comes from pulp mills or something, essentially wood.
And that's in the hamburger?
My understanding is they blend it in the hamburger and the bun and the bread too. And so you're getting a lot of wood. So and then I don't like the fact that their ketchup that they use is high fructose corn syrup ketchup, which I refuse to eat. And
well, you think a lot about this stuff.
Well, there's two elements there. I'm trying to avoid high fructose corn syrup, and in ketchup, it's hard to do because everybody, you know. Although what's weird is they have a regular Heinz ketchup at Costco in the San Francisco Bay Area that is got a green label and it's organic and it says and it doesn't use high fructose corn syrup, but it comes from Canada. So we have to actually bring in stuff from Canada because apparently nobody can bring themselves because of the subsidies to use actual sugar. And
You know what the number one condiment is in the world?
Ketchup.
No.
Mustard.
It's actually, I think,
curry.
Salsa.
It can't be salsa.
It's some kind of salsa. I'm serious.
Mustard. It's got to be mustard.
Well, what kind of mustard? Since we're on these bizarro topics, what's your favorite kind of mustard? Don't tell me that you like that French stuff, please.
I don't hate it, and I find that when you're making a potato salad, for example, it's actually the mustard to incorporate in the salad.
Not a German potato salad. That wouldn't fly.
I make a Polish style. Anyway.
You make it with eggs? I mean, we might as well just talk about, you know, dining.
You're the one that keeps bringing it up. There's nothing wrong with French's mustard. It's actually not bad. And I mean, I like the French mustards, the Poupon mustard, the real one, not the one over. Actually, I like the one over here too. It's slightly different. And Dijon, and the one I really like the most is a German brown mustard. And unfortunately, I get little blisters all through my mouth when I have it, and so I can't eat it. It's weird.
Well, that now officially ends that discussion on that last comment. Because I am not going any further about the wood in the food and blisters in the mouth, and you're going to assume we're going to have something about how it affects your stomach, and then we're going, you know, down the tubes. All right, let's change the subject. That the last week, Ben Bernanke, we keep seeing this divergence of Fed speakers. You know, Bernanke and Yellen are saying, we're going to spend the $600 billion, and we got these other guys saying, you know what, there's inflation. One other guy yesterday said, you know, we're going to talk. We need to stop what we're doing. We're going to create hyperinflation.
Did you see the new article that just came out in Rolling Stone? Matt Taibbi.
Oh, it is, really? What did he say?
Apparently, the CEO's wife of Morgan Stanley and her girlfriend somehow soaked the Federal Reserve for $200 million, and some what appears to be an out-and-out. It's not an illegal scam, but it's a scam in terms of the taxpayer. You should read it. It's unbelievable. It's a total eye roller.
This guy, Mike Taibbi, is getting into some. I mean, he's got to have a target on his head at this point.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't shot him.
Right? I mean, he gets into some places you just don't want to go.
The guy's great.
Yeah, he is. He's great. He is really good. He's definitely made a name for himself. But anyway, so Bernanke is saying that commodity prices are being driven up by global supply and demand. And as long as inflation expectations remain stable and well anchored, the overall increase in prices will be transitory. So the price that we see tomorrow morning, we have PPI coming out, the producer price index. We've already seen prices in the wholesale side of things and prices in the GDP and all the things that we've recently seen shoot up to multi-year highs period over period. So tomorrow's going to be a big day to see if the PPI, I mean, from an economic accounting standpoint, rather than what we really know to be true. You know, we know it's to be true that things are going up in price. I mean, I talk to people that I know that are in business, whether manufacturers, they're all raising prices across the board. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, because the base is up.
Yep,
exactly. If you pay more for the raw materials, you got to add it to the price, and it's going to go up.
Yep. Over in Tokyo, you know, we know that the TEPCO, the position that you shorted, and we'll talk about that in a minute when we get to the stock ideas that we had. Boy, that was a lovely short. But they were dumping. I don't think we talked about this. They were dumping water, radioactive water, in the sea.
Yeah,
yeah. And it pissed off all the fishermen.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, maybe it would make the fish easier to see at night. But you know what was really fascinating, and you and I talked
about
this.
Yeah, you don't need a radar anymore to find the fish. Right. Use a Geiger counter.
Exactly. So now you and I talked. I think we talked about this because I've been kind of hemming and hawing about this issue. When it first happened and we saw that, oh, it wasn't a big deal and they had it contained, and then it kind of slowly got worse. In the first week or so, I said, you know, Japan has no choice but to outright lie about the depth of this problem because they don't want to cause a panic. And what they'll do is, as time goes on, release more and more information, because who cares after a year when they find out how awful it was, because you forget about it. Just like, you know, the billions and billions of dollars that were given to foreign companies by the Fed. You know, you wait a year and a half, everybody forgets about things. Well, now, I think yesterday, Japan declared the incident a 7 on the scale of horrible.
Yep, I know. Bad.
Which is at the level of Chernobyl, which you still can't go back to, right?
Right.
So now
you have to remember, it's a big difference between Russia, which is one of the largest land masses in the entire globe, and this little island that the Japanese run, you know, their business out of. It's not good.
No, it's not. And so, you know, they stopped putting stuff into the ocean because they said, well, you know, remember at first they're like, oh, the only thing that's leaking is this stuff that disintegrates within 8 days. Remember that whole discussion? And then it was like, well, a little bit of more of this cesium or whatever it was called is leaking in. Cesium, well, that has a – now they're, oh, boy, look at the stuff that we have. It never dissolves.
Yeah, right. This is there for good.
Yeah, so like,
it'll
wow,
be diluted by the ocean. That's my favorite one. Hey, don't worry
exactly.
About it.
Don't worry about it.
Ocean's
you know,
big.
You just, the beach is open. Come on in. The water is fine and very warm.
You can get a tan without the sun.
Oh, God, it's terrible. Terrible. So, you know, what's happened there is now that there's been some discussion. Again, the discussion goes back and forth between the ridiculous and the absurd. Because now they're talking about that TEPCO's damages may be stopped out at $25 billion. Hmm. So the stock ran up like 25% in the last couple of days. And you were stopped out of it, by the way.
Oh, I was.
Yeah, but with a very fine return. And that they're not going to nationalize it, and they're going to nationalize it. And it just keeps going on and on and how ridiculous it is. You know, that it's not going to hurt things. Now, today, after all the hoopla about the Japanese situation and the oil prices not hurting global GDP, we get an announcement. I think it was Morgan Stanley came out with they're downgrading the quarterly GDP by about 1.5%, but upping next quarters by 0.5%. Hmm. So net, you lose 1% of global GDP, or actually U.S. GDP. Excuse me, that was only U.S. So
now this is the real numbers. They're not finagling the numbers. Remember that we started doing the show real early on. We started seeing this trend where they'd come out with these numbers and then they adjust, and then they'd base the new growth numbers on the adjusted numbers, which had been all pushed down. And it was just a house of cards, a bull crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still the question remains, you know, where is the growth coming from and, you know, how is it going to continue? We're talking about this quantitative easing thing running out in June or finishing in June. President Obama comes out today and starts talking about how we're going to tighten our belts and save $4 trillion over the next 20 years and cut back on this and raise taxes on that. And everybody's like, huh? Wait a minute. You're trying to push up inflation and trying to stimulate the economy. And now you're talking about an economy that last time when they stopped the quantitative easing rolled over pretty well and then all of a sudden had to, you know, be picked up again by a second generation of this QE. And now, we have a situation where the dollar has been just, you know, down, I think, 15% since the beginning of QE2 against the world basket. Mm-hmm. 15%.
Yeah.
And it took 5 years to get to level down like that last time between 2005 and 2010. It took 5 years, or 2009, excuse me. And then it shot up when all of hell broke loose. Everybody wanted to do the safety trade. And then now we just broke it down again. So we'll see what happens with that.
I've heard some talk already because I seem to watch C-SPAN most of my life. And I've noticed there was a congressional hearing recently on the budget and the Fed. And it was somebody brought up the possibility of continuing with a quantitative easing number 3.
Yeah, they call it POMO. No, they call it POMO.
Nobody's talking about it much.
Permanent open market operations. Just keep buying the stuff. And basically the intent is just to blow down the dollar. That's the intent. But what I'm noticing now in the markets is that we're at an inflection point. The dollar, and this happened today very distinctly, as the dollar was being brought up, usually what happens is on a rough day, the dollar comes down against comes up against the euro. Euro comes down, and then all of a sudden the euro starts driving higher. The dollar moves down. Markets start chasing it on the upside. Oil moves up, et cetera. Today, an opposite thing happened. You know, today what happened was while we saw that going on, every single time oil started moving higher on that, markets started to slow down and come down. When Obama started talking about how we're going to do some fiscal tightening and all this other good stuff, the dollar started strengthening. And a funny thing happened. Oil moved up towards the high of the day by the end of the day while the markets came down. So it's a very strange dynamic going on right now. Yeah, it's a very strange dynamic. So, I mean, oil has a lot of power to move right now. And I will tell you, though, this week, today, this morning, 10:30 this morning, when the Department of Energy came out with their numbers on the inventory levels, there was a massive, just an absolutely massive drawdown in gasoline. Hmm. So you may think that a lot of places are hoarding it so they can lock in prices with the idea that it's going to be higher later.
Yeah, well, the joke could be on them too.
Yeah, yeah, but then they buy the futures on the other side. So let me just – one other tidbit here. I have a question for you. You know, I've been dieting for a while and lost a bunch of weight. And have you heard of this – I'm not doing this, but this HGC diet –
human growth hormone?
Yeah.
Well, if you're a football player, I think it'd come in handy.
Well, this is my
understanding about HGH is that most of the HGH on the market is all just a fraud.
Yeah, that's my understanding also. And I was kind of thinking about it because somebody was telling me they're on this diet. And they take this hormone, I don't know, daily, weekly, whatever it is. and they eat 500 calories a day and they lose weight. Now, I said, no, let me get this straight.
All you have to do is eat 500 calories a day and you'll lose weight. Right. What do you need the hormone for?
Yeah, you'll lose weight. Your hair will fall out. Your teeth will start, you know, getting all messed up and your breath will stink like hell.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, seriously, right?
Yeah, yeah, go into ketosis so you have bad breath.
I mean, that's pretty bad. What do you need this other thing for? And so I think there's going to be an interesting little turn when it comes to this. I think we'll see a little bit of news coming out on this whole diet thing very soon. We'll see. Anyway, National Semiconductor was bought by Texas Instruments. What do you think about that? Anything at all?
Something I should probably be commenting on in Market Watch, but I don't know what to make of it. I mean, the companies, they're always competitors. National Semi seems to they lost their way somewhere along the lines with some of their crazy ideas that they had. And I could blame different people for them, but they just never got on the – they never got their act together, it seems to me. I mean, they were making money and they were selling a lot of different kinds of chips, but they – every once in a while would have these crazy initiatives because they believe that, you know, that – the direction of the industry was going to go a certain way and they'd invest heavily in some technology and it would never go there. And I don't know.
Must have been some economies of scale there, which I believe there was. They paid a lot for it. And if you look at the history of National Semi, they were losing a lot of market share and really just dying at the vine.
Yeah, kind of.
And maybe there was something in there that they could do a little bit of a, have some kind of benefit by, you know.
Well, if there's any benefit, it'd have to be either the I don't even think they do. The fabs are worth that much, but it's probably the some intellectual property that TI needs for something they're doing.
Right.
I mean, TI's got some interesting products. I mean, they've got digital amplifiers and all sorts of
and calculators.
Do they still make them? I don't know.
Oh yeah. They make the sure they make
those.
They
also make the spin and speak that kids toys. They make a bunch of really successful kids toys.
Yeah. Do you ever speaking of those calculators? Have you used one of those HP calculators like the HP12C or any of those?
Years ago.
Oh, I still have to see people using them.
Well,
those
ones that use reverse Polish notation. You had to punch them numbers and all weird.
Yeah, you got to plus two, plus four, minus, or something, just to do an addition. If you didn't know anything about the calculator, just trying to do addition is impossible.
Right.
But, and you used to do present value. When I did all the testing for my CFP, yeah, you had to learn how to use that. That was like a part of it. You had to do present value of money and annuity streams and all that. And the calculator would give you all this information. Now you just do a couple of clicks on Excel or even a Google or an open document deal, and it's open office deal. It's really easy.
Right.
The good old days. Anyway, what are you making of this net neutrality thing? We come full circle again on this, that the federal appeals tossed out a lawsuit filed by two companies challenging it and saying that the suits were premature. So in other words, leaving the door open for further lawsuits?
Well, I'm against the whole idea that net neutrality is an issue that the government should take up at all.
Yeah.
My opinion is that once they start dealing with it, and the next thing you know, the FCC is going to be regulating the network, not the neutrality, but the access. They're going to start to regulate access. And then the next thing you know, they're making us license this podcast because they would love to. They know broadcasting is not what it once was. And so, the Federal Communications Commission was about broadcast. It started with the radio. And you need to regulate it because there's only so much bandwidth and only so many bands you could broadcast on. And you had to have somebody had to have some control over it. And then so they gave licenses out for radio stations. And then the TV people came in and it just extended it. And then they managed to horn their way into the cell phone business over some of the other spectrums that they were controlling. So they've got the radio spectrums all covered, but which is what they were all about. Now they keep – I know they've been eyeballing the cable, TV, and the internet. Because it's like, hey, you're a big government regulatory agency. What do you do for a living? You look for other things to regulate, and I think they're just looking to regulate. And so they're going to be – next thing you know, they're going to be regulating the internet, and it's going to everyone's going to regret it.
Well, I think that if they'd like to regulate this podcast, what we would – I think you would agree with this. What we're willing to do is give them a percentage of the revenue.
We should just – we should be soaking them for some money. We should be like those two wives of the Morgan Stanley CEO.
I got to look at that. Oh, that's a kind of a weird story.
You're going to love that story.
Yeah, you got to send me a link to that. That's unbelievable. I'll just look it up. You know, Wives, whatever.
Yeah, Taibbi Wives, and you'll get it.
So there's a trend that's been going on recently that these Chinese – we talked about this. There's reverse mergers of these Chinese Chinese companies doing reverse mergers, basically putting getting shares listed on the U.S. exchanges.
No, we didn't talk about this.
We didn't talk about this?
No.
So the reverse – there's different ways to look at this, but the reverse mergers basically is essentially you know, these shell companies. A company takes on these shell companies and they become a – publicly traded company. And
well, usually they already are a publicly traded company.
Yeah, the shell companies are, right.
Yeah, and they penny just, or two, 10 cents.
Right. And they just kind of like shoehorn themselves in there. Okay, now they're all of a sudden a company and they're publicly traded and everything is going on.
The idea is it saves a lot of work.
Right, and money. So now there has been this website, muddywaters.com, which I think is a great name, looks to find some of these weird situations that are going on that maybe the accounting and the numbers are really not true. And at first, when you start seeing some of the things coming out about these reverse mergers, it was like, okay, interesting. But, you know, what does it really have to do with anything? You know, is it really a fraudulent situation? Is it just, you know, questionable accounting? Is it widespread? What's the story? Well, I got to tell you, in the last few weeks, something comes out on Muddy Waters about a reverse merger. The stock just plummets, just absolutely plummets.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you could look at a variety of these things, and it's just like, what in the world is happening? And between the coal companies and these Chinese, you know, whatever it is, there's all these different various reverse, not all the Chinese companies, but the reverse mergers. Man, they're taking it down like 40-50% at a clip.
Wow.
And so now they're the concern was that the SEC is now on this, saying, "Hey, wait a minute! You know, there's this big trend." And I don't think there's any problem by doing this, right? You're saving money and doing a reverse merger, and you know, what's the big deal? But as long as it's clean and good accounting, and I guess the question is, you know, anybody could do it. They throw any accounting up, and you know, it's a big scam on some of these things. So now everybody's antennas are up for this stuff, and you just can't get near any of these stocks now, whether they're good or not. Amazing.
That's interesting. Might be some sleepers in there.
Yeah, you can probably find. I mean, I'm sure there's a list of names that we can pull out of these reverse merger companies somewhere. But you know, on the other hand, you know, you have a situation where they're all getting hit, and you find the one that maybe you want to short that actually is a company that's, you know, solid, and you just get, you know, your clock cleaned on it.
Yeah.
When it moves up. So, what else? Apple. You know, there's something really interesting going on in Apple. Have you seen the shares kind of coming down off its 50-day? It's trending lower and lower recently. Have you seen this?
I haven't noticed that it's that there's a trend change, but I noticed that it looks like it went flat to me.
Yeah, if you look at the trend, it's definitely a trend change, no question. It went from 360 to 320 something, 330. That's a big move, right? 10% or something like that.
For Apple, especially.
Now, here's one of the things that happened. First of all, you say, okay, well, a lot of other players are coming out with these iPads and things of that nature, or pads and things like that, and you know, maybe economies are slowing down and people opting for some PCs. Maybe, although the numbers came out tonight about global PC shipments are just in the toilet. But now, what is happening is about a week and a half ago there was an announcement that the NASDAQ 100 is going to be doing a irregular, abnormal, but necessary rebalance. Now, the NASDAQ 100 traditionally is the 100 largest companies that trade in the NASDAQ, okay? It has an ETF related to it, the QQQ. It used to be the Quad Qs, QQQQ, but they took the Q off recently, just last week, and now it's traded under QQQ. Now, because of what happened with Apple over the years, and there was no rebalance done, Apple became over a 22% position in the Qs.
Oh, too high.
So now there's a lot of managers that either buy the ETFs or they follow, and their benchmark is the NASDAQ 100. And what happens is that they're going to be mandated to rebalance their portfolio to stay, you know, on par with the NASDAQ 100. So what's happened is that the Apple's going, I think, from a 22% position down to 12, which means that 10% of the Qs, multi millions of shares have to be essentially sold between the date they announced it and I think it's May 5th.
Oh, and so you think that's slamming the stock?
It's got to be. You have to get rid of it, but you don't want to, you know, you got a month to get rid of it. You know, that that even if it's just the Qs, even if it's just the ETF, they have a month to get rid of it. And I think that's why they did it. They didn't just do a, you know, a lot of times you get the Russell rebalance. You don't know what it is till the next day, and then they rebalance, and or at least a couple of days. They give a full month here.
So you think what you're seeing here, are you thinking that there's going to be a buying opportunity for Apple?
Yep, there potentially is. I think
Does the day close? When is the selling end?
I think it's mandate of May 2nd or 5th, one of those days. And right now, the Apple kind of is creeping up a little bit again. I think what's happening is that the managers that do this sell a little bit. They don't want to push it too hard, and they don't want to break it down, although it's broken down now below its 50, which is a real negative movement. And what's happening is that they let it breathe a little bit, and then they sell it. They let it breathe a little bit, and then they sell it. And they you know, they're not just going to block it out and sell it all at one time, or just, you know, crush the stock.
Yeah.
Even though it's Apple, it's still going to crush the stock.
Yeah, you know, I guess not so. There's big buyers.
And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that.
What do they have to pick up, by the way, to balance?
Well, one of the things they have to pick up is there's a whole list of this, of where the rebalance is. But one of the things they have to pick up is Microsoft has to be added a significant amount.
Oh, really?
Yep. Not helping the stock, but it has to be picked up. There's a few pharmaceuticals. Alexion, one of the stocks we own, I think. I don't know if it's in our stock list.
No.
Alexion Pharmaceuticals is a stock we held, and it was actually added, and it really popped the stock up nicely. We had that stock for a long time. It's just been climbing. And then it was announced it's being added. It's going to be like a 6% position of the NASDAQ. So that those shares are under buying pressure, if you will. But there's a list of what has to – on the NASDAQ, there's a list of what is going up and what's going down, what's going to be an increased position and what's going to be decreased. So – you know, and that's going to be happening. There's no question about that. So I think that's what's going on with Apple right now, aside from the fact that there's some concern about supply constraints and, you know, out of Japan. But the big news today is that they're having their white iPhone is coming in April, finally.
Oh, wow.
What's the big deal with the white?
Hey, I'm not on that bandwagon. I have no idea. It became an item of rumor some time ago, and so everyone kept following up on it. I think it's going to be a big deal. Of course, Steve couldn't decide on what color white he wanted. Because I wrote a column about this, suggesting that Steve's such an ascetic that, you know, anyone who knows anything about, you know, art knows that there isn't a white. There are a variety of them, and
there's no like when you do web colors or things like that, you know, it's a, what is it, 000 or 250?
Whatever.
That's white.
Yeah, it's just
web white.
Absence of everything.
Yeah.
But in the real world, there's a slew of different whites. You know, there's zinc white and lead white and arctic white and eggshell white and pure white and all these different whites. And
well, there's going to be an Apple white coming.
I'm absolutely convinced that people keep coming up to him with a white iPhone and he'd say, that white stinks. And go back to the drawing board, and they bring another one. I don't like that one, but it's white, right?
So one of the things they talked about was that early on was that the white could discolor because of heat issues. Mm. That was a concern they had. And speaking of heat issues,
that would be bad.
The first day I get my iPad, I'm outside, I'm hanging out in the sun, I'm trying to do a few things, and it was 6 minutes in, maybe. The thing's big warning on there and stop. It says you're overheating. I said, What do you mean I'm overheating?
You're in the sun?
Yeah, I was in the sun.
In Florida?
Yeah.
Huh.
It was in the afternoon. It was like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock on a Saturday.
Well, then I wouldn't take this thing out at noon.
Yeah, I know. How do you take this thing out to the beach if it's going to, you know, heat up?
Well, apparently you're not supposed to. Keep it inside like most of the people who own Apple products. Stay indoors.
Yeah, stay indoors. Not like the Kindle, which is great out there, which, by the way, Amazon announced a new Kindle, I think yesterday or the day before, that's going to be like $129, but it has ads.
Ads.
It's going to have
like
advertising.
Buying a book with a bunch of ads in it. You know?
Right. Every other page, you got to stop.
You got to stop and click continue. Right. Yeah, that would be bad.
You get like a 10% discount on a new Ford. If every stop sign you come to, you have to, the car won't go unless you look at the ad that's in the little TV there. And by the way, how annoying are the ads at a gas station? You're standing there, and all of a sudden, like, hi.
The TV.
Who the hell is that?
Yeah.
Who's that? Oh, they tell you that, and then they time it to what an average fill-up is, I guess. And so then, you know, I drive a like a, not a truck, but a Expedition. So my Phillips, I guess, a longer. So I get to see the stuff like 1.5 times.
You drive that huge Expedition?
Yeah. My office is maybe 4 miles away. Maybe. And I have a boat. And
you take the boat to the office too?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course. We're in Florida. No, I don't take the boat to the office. I'm saying when I need to use the boat. And we have a lake house up in Lake Placid, Florida. So, you know, we use the boat and we have the kids like the jet skis and, you know.
So you boat from one house to the other?
No. The boat's up there, but sometimes we take it to different lakes or something like that. We take the jet ski out.
Are you on water now?
Not at this moment, no.
No, I mean not this second.
No. I'm not on water. I live out very close to the Everglades, as a matter of fact, on the edge of the Everglades.
Oh, that's actually quite pretty out there.
Yeah. I don't know. If you ever have a chance to come down this way, you have to take one of those airboat rides.
Absolutely. You probably know the best one. Yeah.
Oh, they're great. Great. A lot of fun. Get a little taste of alligator meat and, you know, go out there and you're just hanging out and there's like alligators all around you in the Everglades. Very, very cool. Very cool. Couple other things. I noticed, let's see. All right. I think we should talk about a couple of things. First of all, the S&P is breaking down below the 50-day, tried to get back above it today, and then just got flopped off again. So now the S&P is breaking down. The Russell broke down. The NASDAQ broke down. It's all below the 50. We're at a pretty much a make-it-or-break-it moment right now for the next level down, if it does continue. The last time it did this, if you look at the chart, there's a kind of an inverse head and shoulders. The S&P went down, then just popped right back up off the 50. And oftentimes you'll see either an average or a stock test the 50 a few times and then break down through there. So we'll have to see in the next few days whether we're going to see a continued, you know, appetite for buying or if the global situation is finally, you know, getting people to notice that, hey, something's wrong. You know, Portugal needs a bailout now and, you know, there's a continuation of the problems in the Middle East and North Africa and, you know, the Japan situation is not getting any better and, you know, there's going to be an end to the stimulus and now Obama's saying $4 trillion is going to have to be spent somehow to make up for this budget issue, you know? Yeah.
There was a funny article that came out. Let's see if I can find it here. This goes off the National Journal. They said the Congressional Budget Office says that the budget deal will cut spending only by $352 million.
Oh.
All this is bull crap.
Mm. Well, when President Obama was on, I don't know if you watched his speech today.
I watched parts of it.
I had to turn it off. I couldn't. It was a campaign speech. I am so sick of hearing about this. Just give me the facts. I don't need to hear about Louise in Delaware who, you know, this and that. I mean, I get the points what he's making.
You know,
here.
I hate those that, you know, Reagan was the one who started that. I think because I don't remember Nixon or anybody else doing that bit. Which is you're given a speech, and in the middle of the speech, of course, Obama's taking it to another level and actually had the person who's the target of the anecdote up in the audience usually.
Right. And perfectly timed for the cameras to focus
right.
in.
Well, the cameras have a script, and then they, you know, just as Obama hits the topic, they, boom, they got the person on the up in the audience. Who knows if they're even actors or – I mean, I don't even believe half these stories, to be honest, about cynical. But then, you know, some poor schmuck, you know, he lost his job, and the next thing you know, thanks to the government or some happy-go-lucky person, and it gives this long story, which I find tedious and questionable. And it's like, I'm not interested. I'm not liking these speeches. They're getting tiresome.
Well, they're the same speech, just reworked. It's like the sentences are just changed around a little bit. And the same thing, you know, we have to start planning for the future. And now he's talking about, hey, I gave a tax break to the rich so that the middle class wouldn't get hit, but now we're going to have to take away that tax break and, you know, we have to be less dependent on foreign oil. I mean, it's the same thing over and over. I mean, I understand, and I think we all understand what the intention is, whether it's good or bad. We understand what he wants to do. But at the same time, it's long on general commentary, very, very short on details or actionable information. Yeah. I don't find any, there's nothing that's been said that I can hang my hat on and say, oh, it's all one big idea that's being floated out there in a very, very generalistic plan. It's like, you know, hey, I have this idea. I want to run a marathon. You know, I want to do it because it's healthy. I'm going to pray and I have to do that. Okay. Well, what is the detail? What are you going to do? So there's, you know, not the thought process. What are we doing?
Nobody knows. Nothing, apparently.
But I do know that I'm a good person, and I can be a superstar. So I'm being told by Lady Gaga.
Yeah, well, she's probably right. So, you know, tell that to all the other unemployed youth that were at that concert.
Yeah, exactly. Paying $86 a ticket, $4.50 for a water.
$4.50 unbelievable. For a water.
$4.50 for a water. $13 for a can of Heineken.
What?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit bigger than a can. It's like maybe, what's the normal, like 12 ounces?
Like a 16-ounce big can?
Yeah, that's it. $13.50.
Wow.
Might I tell you?
You could have just kept
it. I didn't buy it.
Oh, good.
I decided not to buy it. I didn't have anything.
So Goldman's in hot water again. What's that?
Yep.
What's that all about? It won't last.
No. The Senate committee has, I guess Carl Levin has said, you know, we find the reports that we've recently read finally about the causes of the meltdown, which, I don't know, we knew about this probably 3 or 4 weeks after this all happened, and they're just finding out about it now, it seems, that, you know, one of the culprits was Goldman, and in fact, that he's saying that the people that came and testified were misleading and didn't tell the information as it was should have been, that they were one of the reasons why this happened, because they were betting against the deal because they knew this was going to happen. You know, and with all these CDOs and all these mortgages, they had shorts against the whole deal. And Goldman said, no, we didn't tell anything wrong. We told the facts. You know, what we asked, we'd answer the questions. And then I don't know how much, you know, omission versus fact, and who knows. But they're in hot water again. The announcement came after the market closed today. And I don't know if they're going to seek any kind of, you know, something against Goldman. But I think I agree with you that in the end, it doesn't matter.
No. Goldman.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, you want it to matter. On the other hand, you don't want it to matter, you know. But when does it get to a point that something does matter? You know, Portugal saying
that
they...
Read this Matt Taibbi story, and you're going to... I think it's going to get... We're getting closer.
Yeah.
At some point, the public's going to have to just, you know... maybe it'll never happen, but I can't imagine that people can keep putting up with this. It's ridiculous.
I mean, the same thing happened with Portugal last week, right? They talked a big story that they don't need a bailout. No way are they talking to anybody. They're not talking to the IMF. They're not talking to the EU. They don't need a bailout. Everything is fine. They got it under control. Meanwhile, they were downgraded by S&P and Fitch, two levels. And, of course, you know, they kept on talking the big game just until the point that they were able to float some bonds out there to the public. 2 days later, they said, you know what? We need a bailout. I'm like, what? Wait. What did I miss? What happened in 2 days?
They fired the bookkeeper. I don't know.
They did what they had to do. They got through the market event. They got some bonds off, and they said, you know what? The bonds are obviously not going to get – we're not going to be able to really float that many more bonds at these exorbitant rates, and we have a lot coming due. If you look at you could take a look at this about how much of Portugal's debt is rolling over the next few years each year and what it is. And they have a lot of debt coming due this year and next, a lot. They're not going to be able to pay those numbers in terms of, when it rolls over to the public. So they're going to the IMF, which said, you know what, fine, you want money? Do a better job, because right now you're rejecting all of the austerity. Your people are voting it down, and it's not going to fly. And then I think there's some nervousness happening. You know, Iceland basically gave the big finger to the fellows that, lent them their money during the crash of their banking system. And when they had all these plans to repay it, Iceland said, we want to renegotiate this. We don't like the rates. So they renegotiated the rates and extended the payments required for till I think 2048. Hmm. And Iceland said, you know what? Forget the whole deal. We're not paying. Gotta love them.
Yeah, no, actually, the way the Icelanders are doing this, because they somehow got... It wasn't like their fault at all. Like Portugal, you could say, well, you know, and Spain the same way. You can talk to them when you go there and visit. They say, yeah, we took the money and we spent it. The Icelanders were like somehow suckered into the scam, and they're irked about it. So
yeah, I think it shows a good deal of I don't know what it is, but it's a brass.
Chutzpah.
Brass balls. Yeah, chutzpah. Exactly. Chutzpah, saying it nicely, I guess that's the way. So oil dropped $7 in 2 days. Guess why? Back to Goldman. They're saying sell the commodities.
What? They were saying he's going to go to 200.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to 200. So if you look at some fellas that are talking about, like Zero Hedge, saying, hey, Goldman's just looking to drop oil so they can get back in at a lower price. Which, you know, you got to look at that skeptically. It's possible. But oil is again, there's a lot of inventory out there and there's a lot of demand. But now there's a lot of talk. As a matter of fact, today there was a lot of talk about solars again. This comes in waves. But since the whole Japan nuclear incident, solar and alternative energies have been very, very much in the limelight. And the solar stocks really got a boost today when China says that we have to double our solar capacity and solar buildouts. So the solar stocks were really on fire today.
Yeah, they'll get screwed once the oil, you know, this happens every once in a while. Once these guys get their act together and they realize that solar is pretty cool, the cost per watt is still so high that once oil starts to plummet, these guys just all go out of business overnight. So I think we're setting up for a nice short in solar.
I don't know. There's a couple of them I like. I mean, we own Trina Solar, TSL.
Yeah.
And but I agree that there's definitely – it's like the solars and the for-profit educational we always say are kind of similar. They go in these weird trends. Like they're in favor, they're out of favor. They're in favor and you can't exactly tell when that's happening. You know, the for-profits have been just a disaster. A disaster. But every once in a while they start making this comeback. And it's like, wow, that was a nice move. Solars, you know, they make this little move. By the way, a lot of these, like a Yingli and a Jinko and the Chinese ones, Trina, they have some superb revenues and earnings. Superb. And then, you know, you have the ones that are, you have the First Solar, GT Solar, Solar Power. There's a bunch of them out there. And, you know, what's happening is that, you know, while we're seeing a big demand for it, the question is a lot of it comes from government subsidies. So it kind of moves back and forth with the whims of what the government's doing. And that's why, again, today, with China saying they need to double this, I mean, everybody was all, you know, in a flutter to get their hands on some solar stocks.
All right, well, let's take a look at our stocks.
Yep. Let me just say one other thing. A gigantic, enormous bet on silver moving down. You know, silver's been a straight line up.
Yeah.
A gigantic bet was made a couple days ago on a put option against the SLV.
Like $1 million of
A million dollars puts at 10 cents. At 10 cents they bought this.
That's a lot.
It was way out of the money. And I think in July it comes due. So the big bet that silver is going to move down dramatically from now to July, which you could tie into the fact that once the QE stops, the dollar moves up, silver starts moving down against the dollar, of course, because it's related. And at 10 cents, I think the option closed at about 16 cents today. And that was a big number already. That's about a 60% move on it, right?
Well, maybe we should dump it.
I don't know, but that's a big play, $1 million.
I don't know how you could dump it. I mean, I'm surprised you can buy that much.
Yeah, and without moving it.
Yeah.
Gigantic. Okay, you want to talk about our stocks? You take it.
All right, I'm looking at nothing's changed that much except the Tokyo Electric Power, I guess, was the big home run.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not that much more of a home run than your Sina, which is still on there, moving, continuing to move.
Yeah, Sina was on fire. One of the things is that this talk in that China is going, well, Facebook is going to China through one of the search providers. There was some talk about Baidu popped, and there was nothing signed, and it came down a little bit. Sina also has a Twitter-like functionality, or they have that kind of thing going on over there. And there's also Sohu. All three of these have been moving beautifully. Now we're going to see something tomorrow night. We're going to see Google. We're going to see how much of a market share Google has and how much they've lost in China. They're coming out with their earnings tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting since both Sergey and Larry have dumped a bunch of stock.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you don't know if they might just be selling into a because they sold quite a bit. They may be selling into to demand so they don't lose any money on the sale, because we're talking about like over $50 million or so. I think for Sergey.
Pocket change.
Yeah, whatever.
But and this is when they took over management, right? They're dumping shares as they took.
Yeah, well, Larry actually said, right, I'm taking over, I'm selling, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have billions of stocks, so it's not like it's going to make a difference. I don't know. I guess, let's see, what would you sell $50 million worth of something because you needed $50 million for what?
A new plane?
I don't know. What would you need $50 million for off the top of your head? boat?
An island?
I don't know. I wonder.
A space shuttle?
Maybe they're buying Microsoft.
So a couple things to mention here. So Goldman Sachs is hanging in there. You may get stopped out shortly, although maybe we can make it a whole year on the Goldman Sachs buy here. It hasn't moved at all,
it's
really.
Definitely
recently.
A record.
Yeah, it is.
Although the record is that it has been dead money for the last number of months.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that was interesting on here, PCS and the phone companies have been moving up dramatically.
Yeah, no.
Oh, we do have Alexion on here. See, I knew there was Alexion was on there.
Right. Yeah, up 31%.
Yeah. And then the other thing that is, I think, kind of neat on this list is I'm getting a vibe here. See, Mercer, the recent one that we picked that moved up dramatically, then it came down and came in below 14. You know, they make very fine pulp. Remember that? We talked about that. They make pulp and paper. I wonder if one of their clients is McDonald's.
McDonald's. Yeah, there you go.
You have to think about that. Interesting. But things are, the market's been bouncing around and the shorts have been okay. Nothing great. Nothing moving very dramatically or else it would have been stopped out. The only thing that was stopped out are the same things from last week. So nothing's really and you get stopped out on Tokyo Electric, a 67% winner. Ding, 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 that you pulled down on that. Alcoa, we were stopped out of. But unfortunately, Alcoa dropped about 6.5% in the last couple of days after they disappointed the street on their earnings. I think we're going to see some of that coming in. And, you want to see big earnings and revenue beats. Alcoa beat by a penny, but was short on revenues. Nobody's happy about that. You should be really raking it in at this point.
Yeah, you'd think.
You would think.
Well, your General Motors is doing great. You just don't like that company.
Well, yeah, I don't. It hasn't gone anywhere forever, and it's back down to $16 again. So we got stopped out of it, I believe, and it would have been right back down. So that's the warning sign with stops. And by the way, none of the things we're talking about here are recommendations to buy or sell any of these securities. Use your own research and remember that there's risk involved in all investing. Our clients or John or myself may own some of the stocks we talk about. And we reference that
on
the
I own none
Google.
Of them. Now, okay, and we should also mention that this is an automated game that we're playing. Yeah. And one of the things is once you're in until you get stopped out.
Right, exactly.
And, because I'd probably stay – if it was me – if I actually personally would had been smart enough to or adept enough to short the Tokyo Electric, I'd probably stay until it got to 2.
Right. I think you get stopped out – 420. It's like maybe 5.5 right now or something like that.
Yeah.
Because there's such good news that surrounds them now.
Yeah, such great news. They've gone to a level 7 and they're going to have to entomb the reactors.
Well, think about it, right? So what's that all about? I guess the answer is that it can't get any worse.
No, I guess not. But
Get any worse. How much worse can it get? And they're starting up one of their dormant reactors that they haven't used in years.
Oh, you might as well. Well, there you go. It could get worse. They could blow that one up.
Yeah, the public's going to be pissed. Oh, man, there's going to be all sorts of shenanigans going on over there. I will tell you that with the market in this kind of a downtrend right now, we could short right now, but we're on the edge of where things are going to go. Do we want to pick up a solar company like a Trina Sol we could put in here? Or is there other things like, Chipotle is hitting a new high, which is quite amazing, where they came out with their new restaurant, their Asian restaurant concept. There is a play that I would look at. It is something that we're looking to do, but we're not there yet. It's Cirrus Logic. They're a chip maker. The only reason why is they're holding support now. It's not like they're breaking out, not like anything, but they've been just obliterated recently. And if we see any of the chip companies come out with reasonable earnings that aren't just absolutely abysmal, they could do very well, and they have some relationship with Apple as well. We could put that on here. I mean, I would want to buy it if it broke up a little bit higher, but we could put it on here as something that we're looking at and something to take a look at. I mean, I don't think it's going to – if it goes down, it's going to go down quickly, and if it's going to go up, it's going to start bouncing right here. It's been sitting on its 200, and it's got a lot of support right here, and if it breaks up to – I think it's about 19. It's about 18 and change now. If it breaks up to 19, it could really see a nice move up.
Hmm.
But, we can put that on just for laughs right now. We don't own it.
Well, I've got one for laughs, too, then, if you want to
laughs.
Do that.
Go ahead. Give it to me.
C-A-K.
C-A-K. Let me get this.
It's a cheapie. And it, you'd probably have to give it a little more leeway than the 10%, probably 15, I guess. We'll make it 20. What difference does it make?
Really? Okay. Wow, it's that one. Okay, let's see here. C-A-K. Let me put that in the system. C-A-K. What's nice about this, you just kind of code it and it all comes up. This is C-A-M-A-C Energy, up 36% today.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Are we shorting this? Are we long? What are you doing?
No, we're going long.
Going long.
Momentum play here.
That is a momentum play. Has it done anything besides – what's happening?
Well, a couple of things. One, there's a bunch of buyouts going on at this part of the industry, and there's a potential buyout candidate for something like $4 or $5. And so I think it's $1.40, $1.35. And
it's up another 4% after hours too. How much? Let's see here. What do they do?
They have a big oil field outside of Nigeria, and they made an announcement that they were wrong on their estimates. And there's a lot more oil than they thought.
Inner Mongolia, China, exploration development, joint ventures. I wonder if this was a reverse merger. Seriously, I'm just saying, seriously.
Maybe, might be. I don't know. I don't know the history. All I know is that they're
I'm going to go look. They have been around since April 14th, 2010.
Yeah, probably is then.
And they're down 63% since that period. They have, let's see the earnings. Oh, boy. The net, I don't even know what this number means. The net profit margin is negative 340%. I don't know how you do that. They have 27 employees. What are they all doing? If they have 27 employees, how?
It's outside of Nigeria. They're making most of their money sending letters to people in the United States telling them that they won $60 million. And they have to help them get the money out of the country.
And, oh, my gosh. So let me just tag two of the points there. One, Nigeria.
Yeah.
Two, they're marketing to get money because they're
a whole chunk of
money. I told
you you wanted to put something down there for a joke. This is a long shot speculation. This kind of crazy thing that somebody might want to put their money into if they want to take a big chance. And this is it. We got, you know, some dead time here. There's nothing going on.
Okay, so let me just say a couple of things about this, okay? First of all, the officers. There's 10 officers. Okay, that's the list that I have in front of me, okay? Chairman of the board, president, chief financial officer, all these. That's 10 out of the 27. Obviously, the 17 are in the mailroom and on the phones. Is that what you're telling me?
I think they do a lot of outsourcing of the business.
Do they even have a website? Yeah, Petroleum. Oh, I got to see this website. Okay, as of April, has changed. Changed it now, training on the civil. Okay, the new company website is a different one. CAMC Energy. Oh, yeah, look at those pictures, yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. They have a $25 million credit facility. They have offices. They have offices in a variety of country and global operations, oil fields. They're in Houston. Oh, yeah, this is spooky.
It's a penny stock.
This is spooky, spooky, spooky.
So they're putting it on there. Let's see what happens.
Overview. It's a dynamic independent energy company focused on high return, early cash flow global energy projects. Which means they don't have any.
Right.
Our strategy is to pursue a balanced portfolio. Okay. Okay. This all good stuff. They have a factual reports. No events. Energy releases. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're using Yahoo widgets on their website. Oh, this is a real piece of crap. This is such a piece of crap. Let's see. News releases. It's got to be one every day, I bet. Yep. There you go. One every day. Let's see. From January, operations update, acquisition of Nigerian contract rights. $25 million. They announced spudding and progress of a well in China. Oh boy! All right, yeah. I think we need a 20%. You may get that tomorrow. 20%.
Could be.
You know? Oh man. Okay, that's something. That's something. I will put that down. And
this is not a stock that you would recommend for your clients. I'm taking it.
Yeah, we're going to take this out of here, and we're going to say, with a capital long, 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 long shot. Nigerian scammers. Listed. Okay. Okay. Nice. Nigerian oil. Great. Okay. This looks great.
Yeah. There you go.
This is something that would be really neat. You're going to start a trend here.
I think I should put at least one crackpot stock in about every 2 months.
Well, this definitely qualifies. Wow.
All right. Well, you know, you said you wanted to put some, you know, take
big a big stop. Wow, that's impressive. This is going to be fun to watch, and I'll put the buy-in tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
It might not be fun. It might only last 3 days, and that's the end of it. But
if it lasts 20 minutes, I'd be surprised. You know? So we'll see.
It's only money. It's no money involved.
Yep. So we're going to watch for PPI tomorrow. This should be interesting. If we see that PPI is increasing, there's going to be obviously a push on the dollar. Commodities are going to drop. We're going to see them fall out, and the stock market would be kind of in a little bit of a trouble. And we also have the initial claims coming out tomorrow. Everybody's all excited that they're going to be looking pretty, pretty good. Mm. That we're going to see it, you know, sub 400 number and maybe in the 370s or so. So that's kind of on the topic for tomorrow. And the rest of the week, we're going to see CPI. And then the earnings season starts with a major bang next week. So this is where all the fun happens.
Yeah. I would say.
This is where all the fun.
Okay, well, we'll do another show next Tuesday.
All right, look forward to
Hopefully, unless you get another Lady Gaga event to go to.
No, Madonna.
Madonna?
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, she would fit right in down there in Florida.
Exactly. All right, I'll talk to you next week. I look forward to the profits we will see in this company, CAMAC.
Okay.
I'll see you.
Until then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.